Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week we delve into the dark arts of Rajar. As this podcast comes out on the 14th of May, today and tomorrow, the latest set of Rajar figures are released for this quarter, and stations rush to analyse all the data. But what does it all mean? And how is it all gathered? Later on in the podcast, I chat to Adam Bowie, who writes extensively in his blog about Rajar. But first, I spoke with Richard Johnson, Managing Director of the market research company Hallett Arendt. I wanted to start with the basics, so I asked Richard, what is Rajar?
It's the biggest survey, continual survey in Europe. So if you look at, let's say, political surveys, it's often a couple of thousand people. Rajar across a year is 140,000. It's enormous. The only survey that is bigger is the census.
Tell me about how the data's collected. There are these diaries.
Right, so they're collected in three ways. There is a diary, which is a paper diary, which if you go to Rajar's website, you can see. And what you would do is, every quarter hour of listening that you did, you'd mark it in your diary, the day and time. Then you'd also mark how you listened to it, online, FM, DAB, whatever, and where you listened to it, at home, at work, in car. So for every quarter of an hour, people have to provide us with this bit of data. So it's a big ask getting people to do this, and they do it across a week. They're the paper diary people. There's also a computer version of the paper diary, and there is also an app that collects your listening, which accounts for a relatively small percentage of the total number of people taking part. And what we can't do, Ipsos will know this, and Rajar will know this, but what to any end user, I can't tell you where the data has come from. So if you are given the app and I can identify you, because I know your postcode, your age, et cetera, I still can't find out how you were listening, how that data was collected. And that's really to stop people going, oh, we do much better on apps than we do on paper or whatever it might be. So let's remove that argument from the room and just give you the data.
Once you've got this data, what do you do with it? Tell me a bit about what your company does with this data.
Just so you understand, the data is collected in a series of mini areas, because unlike TV research, radio data has to reflect particular local radio stations. But the data for Island FM in Guernsey might also be used for any of the DAB services that are broadcast there, or any national service, or if there is a regional that covers it. So it's reused a number of times. If you ask me to tell you how many people listen to Radio 2, our machine doesn't know. So we click Radio 2, number of listeners, reach thousands, and hit enter. It'll then go through every single diary one by one, going to listen to Radio 2. If yes, add one to the pile. If no, discard, etc. So it does the calculations every time. And if we're after preference listening, so are you a P1, 2, P3, P4, it'll go, do you listen to Radio 2? Yes. How long do you listen to it? 4 hours. And how long do you listen to all of the other stations in your repertoire? So are you a P1 for Radio 2 or a P2, 3, 4, 5, etc.? And of course, P1s is yet very useful data because...
So that's preference one, P1.
Yeah. So your preference one listeners will deliver the majority of your hours. I'm talking generally, but they will not be the majority of your people. So they could be 20% of your audience delivering 65% of your hours. So they're really important to discover and to hold on. And you would go, can I move the fours to a three, the threes to a two, and the twos to one? And that, of course, is the game.
Many years ago, there was medium wave and there was FM, and that was it. And then we added DAB, and now there are apps. There's BBC Sounds and Rayo, and Global have an app, and all kinds of ways, and smart speakers. So can we drill down and find out how people are listening?
So we can look at smart speaker, or we can look at internet. So they're two different things, even though they're both delivered on the internet. But the internet figure includes listening on your phone, listening on an app, etc., etc. And the smart speaker is, as it says, smart speaker. The one issue, and this is true not for RAJAR, but for all sampling, that the deeper you dig, the smaller necessarily your sample is, and therefore the more volatile it is. I mean, stations obviously monitor their online figures, sometimes in real time, and they go, oh, look, we have a spike there and things. Having looked over the years at that data compared to RAJAR, they're not like for like. You can get a steer from what your online listening is, but the rigidity and reliability of RAJAR, so RAJAR, because it's 50% owned by the Beeb and 50% owned by commercial, doesn't favour either of them or favours both unequally, you know, or equally. One of the really important things is if you look at RAJAR, you don't get massive swings. So you don't see someone getting 20% reach and then the following time zero and then the following time 40. The movements generally tend to be very small, which tells you that they're pretty much in the right area. Small listening numbers equal small numbers of listeners. Is it exactly 8,000 people? Well, 8,000, 7,000, 9,000, doesn't matter. It's small.
So when you take these samples, how is it calculated in terms of, you know, say there's been a sample of 1,000 people that quarter or whatever it might be, there must be calculations for them to then work that out to say 90,000 people listen to this station or 2 million or whatever it must be. There's an algorithm somewhere there, isn't there?
Of course. Of course. And everything is weighted.
So tell me about the weighting. Because I remember being told that. I said, oh, your figures have got like year, 6 month waiting on them. And then I'd nod sagely and think, I haven't got a clue what they're on about.
Well, you know, there are people who are difficult to get hold of. And I think from memory, the difficult people are Asian women and the young Welsh speakers. They're just really hard to find or to recruit. And so therefore, if you stumble across one of those, they probably get a disproportionately high representation for their single person than, quote, an average person. So the harder people are to find, maybe the more weight they get. But it's all public and it's, you know, they show you where the weighting comes from.
Who isn't allowed to do a RAJAR diary? If someone knocked on my door now and said, could you do this survey for me? I'm assuming I wouldn't be allowed to do it, nor would my husband.
There is a qualifying survey, and part of that includes, do you work in radio? And part of that is, do you work in, I think it's marketing and PR. But you can have a look. So all the questions are listed there. And if you say yes, they go, thanks very much, and close.
Next, I chatted to Adam Bowie, who blogs about all things media and RAJAR related at adambowie.com. And I asked him, once the RAJAR figures are out, how do radio stations interpret the data?
These days, it's a big data dump, really, at the time of release, which is normally about 10 o'clock in the morning. And stations then have a few things they can do. There's normally some top lines you can just instantly see. So the two key measures, as I'm sure everyone in the radio industry knows, are reach and hours. And you will instantly then compare your reach and hours, probably the top line ones and maybe some key demos, depending on what your station is and who you're targeted at, and see how you've done quarter on quarter or year on year. Then two kind of key ways of looking at things. But there might also be other things, like if you had a big news show that launched 18 months ago, you want to see how that's growing. So effectively, depending on the size of the station, how many staff you've got, who then is going through the data, you'll get a bunch of straightforward PDFs that you can have a look at. And then you normally would be crunching the data, if you like, through various pieces of software. There's a few industry-specific pieces of software. Different stations use different ones, and you can then run reports. You then dive deeper and deeper into it. If you've got a whole host of stations, or the whole network of stations, then you might be looking at a network level down to the individual station. But then you want to cut it by day part as well. So you want to see how your breakfast show's done, how your drive time show's done, how your all the day parts have done. And you can get that right down to that one-off show that you run at sort of only runs for an hour on Sunday afternoons or whatever. You can sort of deep dive into that. And effectively, you're also kind of racing against the clock a little bit because there's a PR deadline basically of midnight. So the stations get the data on a Wednesday. And if you're wanting to press release it, there's an embargo until midnight 01 on the Thursday. And that's when press stories come out. Now, these days, there maybe aren't quite as many press stories, but nonetheless, it's still a big story. If big national station, BBC, the global station of our station has done particularly well or badly. And the press teams will be talking to the research teams to come up with those stories and find the positives in amongst all the numbers.
Oh, that's my next question, actually. I've just written spin on my pad because everybody seems to find a way of making their radars look good. And you mentioned reach and you mentioned hours. You think about, well, how many people are listening to my show? But it's so more complicated than that. And you can take a positive, even if you've probably had a bad book. There's normally something, isn't there, in there. So let's sort of dive a little bit deeper. Tell me about reach. What does that mean?
Reach, for in radar terms, means you've listened for at least 5 minutes in a 15-minute period. 5 minutes is the cutoff. Now, you might have well listened for, I don't know, 2 hours this morning or an hour this morning between getting up and leaving home to go to work. So you will tick off the respective four blocks in the radar diary. If you've listened to a station, whether you've listened to it for just 5 minutes during the week or you listen to it all day, every day, for 7 days of the week, you're still just one reach in effect. We talk about weekly reach for the most part. You can do other reaches, but weekly reach is the industry norm. And one reach is one person listening for at least 5 minutes during the course of the week. It might be a lot more than that, but it can't be less than that. What that doesn't really explain is how loyal a listener they are. So if you're sitting at the car traffic lights and you listen to maybe the news bulletin on a particular station and you listen for 5 minutes or so of that, and then you go back to your main station, which plays the music you like, but maybe doesn't have the news that you want, or it doesn't do sport as well as the other thing, but actually that's what you spend most of your time with. You're one reach on station A, the one that did the great news and sport package, but you're also one reach on station B, which is the music station you spend most of your time with. But if you're spending sort of 55 minutes of the hour listening to music, but only 5 minutes listening to speech, you're one reach on each, but that's where hours come into play, which is the cumulative amount of time you spend listening to a given station. And that's really important because one, that means you're a loyal listener to that station. So stations love loyal listeners because they're the ones who come back. They listen for long periods of time. But also from a commercial perspective, that means you're much more likely to run into ad blocks. If I listen for 55 minutes to a station, I'm probably going to hear three, maybe four commercial breaks during that period and those respective ads. And that station makes money based on the number of people listening to any given advertising period.
And then within reach, can you drill down to gender, age demographics, social economic demographics? You know, can you find out the type of listener that you're attracting?
Absolutely. There are about 100,000 diarists each year across the entirety of Radar, across all four quarters. And every one of those diarists has to complete a survey to say who they are. You know, are you male, female? What age you are, you get categorized into social economic groups. So that's, if you've heard of ABC1, C2DE, that's based, broadly speaking, on your job and your income. Also things like your ethnicity, do you have a disability? All of those kind of things are all captured. So you can look at your audience. So if I've got a station with 1 million reach, I can find out, are they 60% female, 40% male, or vice versa? What the age profile of those listeners is, you know, Radar measures from 15 upwards, but you can look at, you know, how many 15, 24 listeners have I got? How many 25, 34s? And indeed, I can actually find out how many sort of 17-year-old female listeners of a particular ethnicity. You can dive into it. Whether it's sensible or not, it's another thing. For the most part, you wouldn't dive into it at that level and get into the nitty-gritty of sample sizes and so on. And for big national stations, you can cut it fairly granularly, but you probably wouldn't want to go much more than sort of 5 or 10 year age breaks. But yeah, you can slice and dice it. And that's important because, you know, if you're working for the BBC, you've got particular audience targets and you want to reach certain types of people. And if you're a commercial radio station, you've got the advertisers who are particularly after things, and they're probably buying on the basis that you reach a particular demographic. So it's really important that stations do understand their audiences, and that's what Radar does allow them to do.
We've got reach and we've got hours listened. They're running alongside each other. And then the other big one is share as well, your share of the markets.
Yeah, so share is kind of, I mean, all of these things are kind of derived from one another. When we talk about share, what we're really talking about is it's a version of ours. If my breakfast show has an audience of 1 million and they listen for 3 million hours in a week, that's two numbers. But to put that in perspective, what you can then look at is work out what the entirety of the audience in your particular area is listening to the radio, and you do it as a percentage. So if I've got 3 million and the entirety of the audience in my TSA, the sort of the area you took, your station, you know, each station is measured on a particular area.
Just tell us what TSA stands for.
It's a transmission area, effectively. And so if you're a national station, it's the entirety of the UK. But if your station is, say, just in York, you might then define it based on literally where your transmitter extends to. You break it out in postcodes. It's kind of important because if you make it too big, you could sort of, with a fair wind and a massive antenna, someone can listen to me in Sheffield. I don't know if that's possible for someone from York. You're going to definitely like most people are not doing it apart from a couple of super keen listeners who've got those sorts of big antennas in their back gardens. So for the most part, what you do is you talk to your transmission company, someone like Arqiva or whatever, and that they will give you a map, and then you come up with a sensible thing. Well, listeners over here probably can't really hear us and people can. So in London, for example, most stations tend to use the same kind of drawing, even though, yeah, you know, if you drive down the M4 from London towards Bristol, you can hear a lot of London stations. As far as Swindon, no one is actually measuring that far, at least on FM, changes with DAB. But effectively, yeah, you define the area, and it's important because Radar has to sample in that area and so on. But then when you're looking at your share in a given area, be it national or be it just your local town or city, it's a percentage. Going back to it, if I've got those 3 million hours and all radio listening accounts for 10 million hours, then I've got a 30% share of my area. By the way, if you've got a 30% share, you're doing extraordinarily well.
Yes.
shares tend to be much smaller than that. I'd say in the UK, people,
I was going to say, I'll take the 30%
share.
Yeah, then.
No, I mean, there probably are a handful of incredibly, you know, targeted, in particular in some regions where everyone does listen to the local station or whatever. But yeah, that would be pretty outstanding.
If I had to pin you down and say, right, which one is the most important then? If you had to make a choice, hours, reach, share, rank them. 1, 2, 3 for me.
Honestly, it depends if you're the BBC or commercial radio. I think the BBC would probably say reach. Commercial radio would say hours. The simple thing is, the more hours you have, the more money you can make. It's literally as important as that. When your hours go up, it means your ability to, you know, if you got 10% in hours, it means you can make, I'm not saying you will make, but you can make 10% more money, you know, if you fill the station at the same rates that you're currently charging, you know, assuming all things are unchanged. I'm not saying that hours aren't important to the BBC as well. They are. That kind of, you know, time spent listening is important to all of those things. But, you know, the BBC likes to talk about big numbers of how many people they're reaching in the course of a week. You know, they've got a licensee to think about. So you want to make sure that listeners are, and many people as possible, are getting value from the BBC. That's how I would say it. But you can't have one without the other. I mean, you can't have hours. You can't get big hours without a big reach. I mean, it's just impossible. You know, the loyalist of loyal listeners can only listen for 24 hours in the day. By the way, if you start ticking 24 hours on the diary, they will start voiding your diary because sleep and stuff.
Yeah, it's got to be a realistic sample, hasn't it? Yeah.
There's a maximum amount of time spent listening. So if you want to get big hours, you're still going to need to find that reach as well.
A big thank you to Richard Johnson and Adam Bowie for being my guests. Good luck if you're waiting on your RAJAR figures today. We hope to see lots of you tonight at the ARIA Awards. Safe journeys up, down or across to London, wherever you're coming from. And good luck if you're nominated. Next week, the podcast will be part one of highlights, winner speeches and backstage interviews from the evening. I might see you tonight. Come and say hi. If not, I'll see you next week.